Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
I'm sorry, I'm playing with my mic over here.
Your mic's a little limp today. Is that a sign of anything?
No, it's
here?
Not limp. It just keeps pointing upwards. It's like on Viagra or something.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, Glenn, I can see you on Skype. How you doing?
His mic points down. I don't know. Is that his mic points down? Yours points
down.
Yeah,
but he's standing very erect, isn't he? Just like...
While he's doing that, we'll talk about today's show.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that some people who know me know this, but I'm involved in the spa industry. I'm involved in the hospitality industry. Before going out on my own, I worked for a couple of large, heavy-hitting firms that you go to for resort projects, master planning, all kinds of stuff that's that nature. And Glenn and I, my guest Glenn Houseman, who's with us today, we've crossed paths over the last, he and I probably have been in this about the same time, about 20 plus years, and we've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Keep getting propelled further and further along. I'm getting these invitations from Art now. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, well, you're welcome to the club, buddy. You know, Paul here, who will tell everybody that he is a bona fide boomer who just turned 60. I'm sorry, I'm stealing your thunder.
Yikes.
He basically also refuses to join AARP or take advantage of any of those.
I just wrote on my blog this morning on Facebook in preparation for the show. I said, we're the Peter Pan generation. We're never going to grow up, and we're certainly never going to grow old. But the sad fact is we are.
So, like I said to you before, Glenn, this is the poster child for a baby boomer right here, right?
I'm in. And I'm very excited to be exploring how we're going to be getting older. And if you'd like, being that I'm a Jewish guy from Long Island, I can talk about all the stuff that aches me.
Oi! Did I ever have a doubt that I was going to stop you from doing that on this show? Heck no.
That's true. I am a professional complainer by nature.
But just to give you guys a little bit of background on about Glenn and why we decided to do this, okay? The baby boomer industry, and I'm a baby boomer generation. I'll use them as just a generation of focus, right? But the same thing applies, I think, to millennials. And I think Glenn, in one of his podcasts, which I listen to, makes a point that I've always believed in, and we get caught up in this sort of packaging of generations and targeting them, you know, for with marketing. You know, if we standardize everything and we define it within certain parameters, then it becomes easy to market to and whatever. But I think what happens, especially in luxury product kind of services or product-based industries, is that you also lose something. Okay, and you get
individuality.
Well, and you also
customization.
I mean, perfect, exactly, Paul. You lose the individuality. You're sold on the fact that this is all one-on-one with you, but it really isn't. And I think you may shift your focus as an industry to cater to that generation, and in doing so, actually ostracize a loyal following somehow.
Do you agree?
I agree with you absolutely, Rod. And I'll tell you what I'm seeing out there. In the hospitality sphere, I think that the hotel industry has gotten all carried away with the millennials at the expense of the other generations
right.
that are out there. And I think that there's a lack of understanding that, you know, there may be different preferences here and there amongst different generations, but in the end, we're all human beings that crave the same amount of things, the same types of things. We all want a clean place. We all want a comfortable place. We all want our lives to be easier. It's just that when younger folks, they deal better with technology. They learn it more. It's more a part of their soul. They're these digital natives that have learned it since birth, right?
Right.
But us older folks, once you hit 40, I think we just don't want to learn technology as much. And I think the hospitality industry is reading that in the wrong way. So we all want to participate in technology. We're just a little bit slower.
So why don't you expand on that, Glenn? How is the hospitality industry reading that in the wrong way, in your opinion?
All right. I think what they're doing is they're going out now and they're creating all of these new hotel brands that are geared specifically towards millennial travelers, or now they're getting on to the millennial mindset idea. People that view themselves as behaviors with the younger generation.
I'll give you an example of that. I was in a year ago, my wife and I thought, well, let's take a little fun trip down weekend to San Diego, to the Gas Lamp District. We hadn't been there in a long time. We live up in Orange County. And, of course, I looked on and you got to stay at the W Hotel. I'd never been in one of the W hotels. And when you get there, it's all young. It's all millennials. Right. And their motto is, you know, anything you want, anytime you want, that kind of thing. What, where, when. And so we come down to the lobby and not come back as we're going out to dinner, and they're having a rave, what I'd call a rave, that's probably an old-fashioned term. They're having a DJ and people are dancing in the lobby. And it was kind of cool, it was kind of different, but we definitely kind of didn't fit into it. And everybody kind of looked at us like, what are we there for?
Well, Glenn, you also, I've heard you say this before, is that, and it's very true, I at least I agree with this, is that just because somebody's preferences are in a certain way right now, I don't know that I would label it as a generational preference and more so as an age of life preference or a part of life preference. Because even with the millennials, okay, and I know we're skipping over boomers for a minute here, but even with the millennials, what their preferences may be today, when their discretionary income may be in a certain manner, and maybe their socioeconomic and you're in their family, in, you know, infrastructure, whether they're married, they have kids or not, I think in another 20 years, they're going to start echoing some of the preferences that the generation before them does.
I don't know that you want to be as loud and wild and crazy at 60 as I did at 20. You know, I'll just take a wild assumption.
I'm trying at 45. I just spent the weekend in Colorado going to see some concerts. And I heard a lot more than I did doing the same thing 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Remember a lot more.
I'll tell you what, Rod. I think you are absolutely correct. And what we're seeing now is a lot of these hotel brands being built where they're saying, millennials want to spend all their time in the lobby, so we're going to go ahead and build smaller hotels.
Because of the socializing preference.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Hotel had a party going on in the lobby. I'd never seen that before.
Go ahead. Go
on. So what's happening then, to get to your point of how you change with age, when all of these brands are built out in, let's say, 10 years from now, what we're going to be seeing is a very different group of people who are probably married, now have toddlers, and wonder why there are no bathtubs.
Why is there a rave going on in the lobby? And let's talk about that bathtub for a second. Absolutely. Because a lot of places are losing the bathtub.
Yeah.
Right. They're losing the desk. Right. And what else is being taken out of the guest room, Glenn?
Pretty much anything that takes up space, because they want to, you know, it's cheaper to build smaller rooms. So they're trying to rejigger how these things are constructed in order to save money and get people to go down to that lobby.
And you get more keys and you get supposedly more people that are going to.
And you get more money because they come down and do something. They don't sit in the room.
Right. It reminds me of the way the casino industry behaved 30 years ago. They did everything they could to get you back down into the gaming floor and out of the room.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask a question, though, and I think this is a broad one, so you'll probably come up with some wildly different answers here. But I have complained for some time, at least since I was 45, that suddenly I'm not a cool person to market to anymore. For the last 15 years, the movies, the trends, the music, everything else is always aimed at a young audience. Cars are aimed at a young audience. Clothes are aimed at a young audience. And the assumption is that if you capture them when they're young, they'll stay with you for a lifetime. But if you try and go after the 40, 50, 60-year-olds, they've already pretty much decided what they want. It's harder to get them to change. Is any of that true? If it is, it incenses me as I get older.
Well, I think it's true with deodorant, but I don't think it's true with experiences and the delivery on that. I'm now 45, so I'm starting to feel what you're feeling. And I remember when I turned 18, I wasn't excited because I could go and get drafted. I was excited because I was part of the coveted Nielsen demographic of 18 to 34.
Right.
And since I turned 35, I felt like we've been kind of cast aside.
Well, let's commiserate for a minute here about being that bridge generation, that X generation, is that we seem to get lost between the two mega groups, the millennials and the boomers. And I honestly think, and I think this show might even be an example of this, if I may be so bold, is I think our generation really is not a lost generation, but actually has a role to play as a bridge generation. And it's pointing out.
Take it one step further. Yeah. We're the ones right now that are spending all of the money.
Yeah.
We finally achieved something with our careers. We have families, and we're on that cycle of putting back into the system. Mm-hmm. So it really hurts me when everyone's going gaga over the millennials, mm-hmm. because I feel like one of those aging Hollywood starlets that have been traded in for a younger, prettier generation, and I don't like it, Rod.
I got to pass on a word. While you were talking there, we had a phone call from a guy named Skiff. I don't know if any of you guys know Skiff, but...
I know Skiff.
All right, Skip. Is it Skip?
Oh,
yeah.
God, he's dangerous.
He's dangerous. Well, he was...
he warned us, actually, was in a call.
He said, I want you to comment on exactly what we're talking about here. He said, why is everybody suddenly ignoring me, the aging baby boomer? Boomer or Gen Xer here. He said, I got more money than these kids do.
Right.
I got more time on the road than they are, and yet they're not catering to me anymore.
Okay, so,
they want them.
I'm just going to read this from some of the results from AARP travel studies, right?
Mm-hmm.
99% of baby boomers anticipate traveling for leisure in 2016. This was from last year.
Okay? How many?
99%.
Wow.
Okay. With approximately, this is the head twister, 4 to 5 trips in the works. In the works. That means pre-planned, okay? And the interesting thing on this is, I think, there's a whole bunch of stuff we'll touch on during the show, but one of the things that's fascinating is it says that, and this blew me away, okay, and relevant to social media, and to Glenn's point, you know, where everything's in the lobby, and then people are saying, you know, everything's on social media as far as marketing and pushing for this stuff.
Right.
Okay, social media plays a very small role in influencing or occupying this older generation, with 2/3 of baby boomers saying they will not post to a social media site while on vacation.
Counterintuitive to everything that they're doing. So why is it then? I missed some of your conversation when I stepped out to get the phone call here. Why are they abandoning us for the millennials? Is it because they think they'll stay with them longer and build brand loyalty?
Glenn?
No. I think that they feel like it's a group that's going to be larger and spending more money than ever before. And I think they're having trouble splitting their focus. So they like to put all their apples into that single bucket type of a thing. But you're absolutely right. They're mismanaging the situation and should be focused more on the baby boomers. Baby boomers do have the money. They do have the time. And they're taking the Generation X folks and millennials away on vacations and paying for it.
Right.
So is there
$120 billion a year in leisure travel, by the way.
So is there a chain that does cater to my generation?
Oh, you know what? You got to touch on this. Paul is the receptive ear to a blog cast that you did, and you were eating, and I don't want to give it away, Glenn, but you were eating, okay, and it was in St. Petersburg. You know what I'm talking about, Glenn?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, why didn't you feed him in? Because when I was listening to that, I'm going,
that's Paul.
Talk about a perfect place for Paul to go. And talk about a brand that really owns that demographic historically and by association, and how they are cultivating and developing their marketing and their offerings.
Yeah, I had a very good opportunity to go down to St. Pete, Florida. I was working on a job, and I came across David Downing, who runs the Convention and Visitors Bureau, you know, to get people to come down to St. Pete and Clearwater Beach. So we went out for a great dinner over at The Mill, which was rated the number one new restaurant in Florida because of a farm-to-table concept that they do.
Mm-hmm.
We sat outside, and we had an amazing conversation, and we really got to hear all about the food that was there, where it comes from historically. So it was much more of a story behind each item. Like, you didn't just hear about the orange that was on it. You heard about how the orange was grown, how it was picked, how it was cut. You know, all of these types of stories. And I think that that adds a new dimension to the food and beverage experience that plays very well with, I think, all generations, even though, again, we want to get stuck on that millennial thing.
Because we love stories. We want to then take those stories back and share them with people. Look at what I'm eating.
Did he tell you what the property's name was?
No.
Okay. You got to
The restaurant was The Mill?
No.
The hotel.
But what did you talk about you talked about St. Pete's, but then you talked about something that's in Hollywood. Wasn't that the second part of your show?
I have no recollection.
Okay, all right. Let me help you out here. Something to do with it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yes. Oh, Margaritaville.
Well, that's
see, I try to set it up, but you know, I think you need to tell them about
Margaritaville
that.
Margaritaville is on the other coast of Florida,
right?
The new Margaritaville Resort, and they're going
to
be building.
Hey, I'm just listening to your pods, dude. That's
yeah. All right, so the Margaritaville Resort is an amazing idea and experience, and I loved speaking to John Colan, who is the president of Margaritaville Holdings. They're the parent company for everything Margaritaville, Jimmy Buffett related, and I thought that was really fascinating. Mm-hmm. They've got such a great audience built in. Jimmy Buffett just played here on Long Island within the last couple of weeks, and there were people camping out at 5 a.m. And these aren't the 20s and 30-somethings. These are 40, 50, and 60-somethings. Yep. They're out there. They're in tents. They're in RVs. They're drinking all day, and they're partying with Jimmy Buffett all night. And now they're building resorts focused on this theme, and people are coming there in droves and having a great time because they feel connected to that brand, and they feel that they're being appreciated for who they are as consumers.
Parrot heads.
It's great to see them. Yeah. It's great to see them being celebrated instead of cast to the side.
And this is how serious this is. Okay, that project that they were talking about—that's in Hollywood Beach. Okay, how much money went into that project, Glenn?
$400 million. I'd like to say
$400 million.
Yeah. Look, they're upping the ante, Rod. They're
yeah, absolutely.
One in Orlando for $750 million.
Across from Disney, right?
It's brilliant. Now, look, imagine if the great if Jerry Garcia was still alive, would he be doing like Jimmy Buffett did, and would he be trying to tap into that brand and that fanatic following that has been with him for 40 years and building, maybe not theme parks or hotels, but maybe experiences where they could gather. For example,
there's that magic word, isn't it?
Cruise ships do this a lot now, where I see rock and rollers, aging rock and rollers will go out and people will gather, or aging or movie star or TV stars from yesteryear. You can sit with the Brady Bunch and take a cruise with them or something here, where you somehow connect with this childhood image.
I'm waiting for the Gilligan's Island cruise.
I'm sure they would. Why wouldn't they?
It's going to be a very lonely cruise. Now,
3 hours.
Three-hour cruise.
The three-hour tours.
I mean, is that really where we're headed, where we're going to have nothing, where we're going to have this kind of nostalgia? And is there something more than nostalgia that we can build into the aging baby boomer experience?
Well, that's a good. Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, sorry, Paul. Go on.
No, I was going to say, this is Rod. I was going to say, there's a great segue. Because there's another thing that Glenn and I have in common that we, I think, have an appreciation for, okay? And that's the word experience.
Yeah.
Okay? And not only in terms of the people having experience, but actually having that be a focus of how you offer this leisurely product or service stuff, that it is all experiential.
Yes.
Right? Talk about that a little bit, Glenn, from your perspective, if you don't mind.
Well, I'll tell you what. Experience is the word in hospitality, and it's spreading to all other sectors as well. And when it comes to the baby boomer audience in particular, they have things. They have everything they've always wanted. Mm-hmm. Now they want to have experiences and share those experiences with others as they get older. We don't need another cheap $20 item from China that's going to break in 20 minutes. Right. We want to go out there and make memories and collect those memories and have those moments out there. And this is where I start to wonder why we can't have another word for experience other than experience, because people say experience too darn much.
Yeah, it's overly used almost.
I like stories. I mean, we're storifying everything. Everything's a brand's got a story. Your food has got a story. We want to tell stories through social media. It's storifying the whole process.
So here's another thing that though has to go hand in hand with this.
Yeah, right.
And how you deliver on it, and I know you believe in this too, but it's that eluding factor of authenticity,
right? That's definitely the buzzword today is authenticity.
Yeah, you cannot have an experience, whether it is on a property, a resort property, whether it's a day stay at a spa, whether it's even going into a retail store, for God's sake, whether it's groceries or otherwise, I don't think you can get away. And it may be due to overexposure from on how many channels do we have to watch, travel channels and so forth, and home shopping and HDTV and all that stuff. We're constantly bombarded. I think people have become very cynical of anything that does not have authenticity.
That's why podcasts are popular, as your guest points out, because it's real conversations. We're not trying to create something perfect and packaged.
So how I know it's a buzzword, Mm-hmm. How successfully is it executed out there, Glenn?
I think that the hotel industry is kind of bifurcated on this. Smaller, independent hotels that have that laser-like focus, I think, are doing a much better job at setting the stage for authentic experiences. But the bigger brands are having trouble because when you have 200, 300, 400, 1,000 properties under one flag, mm-hmm. it's really hard to deliver that type of individualized experience. A lot of times on the road, I talk about the idea of mass customization is creating individualized experiences on a very one-on-one personal level. But that's something that we have yet to go to because companies still haven't figured out how to translate all of this big data that we have into actionable opportunities with guests.
Well, I would almost offer up the fact that it's also a certain sense of, you know, like that big data that, especially in a corporate environment, that big data that research back, you know,
you're collecting more information than ever.
Well, but it does two things, right? Yeah. If I make my decisions based on that versus on not necessarily whim but instinct. Right, which is maybe more likely to happen in a smaller environment. What you're doing is you're using the data to cover your ass, because then your decision can always be based on, well, I did it based right. on that data, right? But also, I think it gets to the point where you now basically are, and it can, you can say the same thing about technology. It is no longer a tool. Now you are a slave to the data. And you're a slave to the technology.
Well, what you're going back to is something I've hearkened a lot. You know, when I came up in the film business and as a public relations person, I was in that transition between the 60s and 70s when filmmakers relied on gut instinct as much as they did testing the films and the ending. They didn't have five different endings like they do now and then pick one after the audience has decided. You were a showman. You know, you bet it all on your instincts, and then you hoped you were right. Now, maybe you supported that and tried to hone it with some data and stuff, but now we're so data-driven, politics, entertainment, experiences, cars, and everything else, that sometimes it just seems hollow. We're looking for inspiration. Inspiration doesn't come out of data.
So who's doing a good job at that? Have you encountered anybody that's doing a good job at it, specifically relevant to that authenticity and not
an inspiration, where they're not just being a herd mentality and following?
And when I'm asking that question, I know you know, but for the benefit of the listeners, I'm not looking for that, you know, that four-letter word trend. I'm not looking for that, you know,
it's a five
buzz. Oh, five, you know what? In my book, it's a four-letter word, right? But basically, you know, if I hear one person tell me, what's the wow factor? Okay, I'm going to basically want to strangle somebody,
yeah.
right? I mean, who is not doing it to just say, okay, look, hey, we are also following trends. Hey, we're doing – who's actually innovating?
Right,
Glenn.
I think you're seeing a couple of things. Kimpton Hotels and Resorts, which was recently purchased by IHG, Intercontinental Hotels Group, does a very nice job at setting the stage for authenticity and breaking all the rules. And I think Virgin Hotels as well is doing a really nice job with that so far. I've only seen that, you know, I've only heard about the Chicago property. I haven't been there yet, but as they expand, I expect to see that increase. I wish Virgin had done a better job with the airline in terms of being able to capitalize on getting more people, because I liked what they were doing. It was very different. And what these companies do, rather than what every other company does with their polling, is they're out there to give us stuff that we need and want, but didn't know we needed.
Exactly, exactly.
That's what the difference is. Before there was an iPod, I had no idea.
That I needed an iPod.
Mm-hmm. But now I can't imagine living my life without a piece of technology.
Somebody has said, we've heard this several times.
Fascinating.
We do mostly business shows here. We've heard this several times. If somebody had crowdfunded or questioned the audience back in the early 1900s what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse, not a car.
Right. I think you're absolutely right.
Very interesting.
And that's the thing. We need to have those visionaries out there to keep pushing that bar forward and to take the risk. You know, we haven't seen that in a while. There are guys out there like that, you know, the Elon Musks of the world, but we need another guy like Walt Disney to come out there and,
yeah.
and reshape the entertainment.
He sure did. Boy, he did when he created that whole idea and took amusement parks out of the penny arcades and into the modern era here.
Okay, so you used Kempton. Now, Kempton just got purchased, right? So my concern always...
So there goes their originality.
That's exactly where I'm going is it's interesting because sometimes, like Virgin, you could argue that from the top down, there is a drive to be different, to challenge
Sir
the
Richard
norm.
Wants to break some eggs
right.
there. Right.
So there's a, yeah, exactly. But what happens to these innovators that then fall victim to being purchased by a larger company? I mean, this, the history on that one isn't necessarily very good, right? It, they've been absorbed and
they get homogenized.
Yeah, the history is absolutely horrific. But the CEO of the Americas by IHG, Ilya Maloof, says that they will be a separate company and be treated like a separate company.
Well, that's smart businessman.
Now, if they could keep them siloed, that'll be great. But, you know, I could understand the fear of that not happening based on what you just said, because it's a very real threat.
Never happened. Saturn tried to be siloed in the General Motors corporate structure and didn't fly.
And then what they do, they took the body of that car and put it on some like Chevys or something like that.
Right.
I think,
yeah.
And then
killed the brand.
Well, and you know, it falls victim to. I mean, I saw this on my side of the fence, on the architectural and interior side. I saw it where large companies became so big and they were basically in the business of being creative. And yet the organizational structure of those companies went from being basically run by some old school architects that basically grew the company and had been, you know, part of the founding, innovative energy, to where it is now operated by an attorney or an accountant.
Bean counter.
Right. And that's absolutely what's happened. You see that being expressed right now in Las Vegas with some of the major casino companies. Forgetting about guest experience and focusing rather on extracting every dollar that you possibly can out of the guests.
Well, we got to extract every dollar we can out of this podcast, so we got to run a commercial.
Let's go to a commercial.
Sounds like a good idea.
All right, hang on. We'll be right back.
If you are like the majority of Americans, you want to continue living in a familiar environment throughout your maturing years. In fact, according to many surveys, 82% of homeowners overwhelmingly prefer to age in place, which means living in their current homes safely, independently, and comfortably, regardless of age or ability level. With over 30 years of combined experience in residential, commercial, hospitality, and destination resorts fields, Your Home for a Lifetime is a company dedicated to empowering you to maintain your quality of life and independence by helping you make your house your home for a lifetime. Do you want to reorganize or remodel your home? Do you want to add a full bathroom and possibly a bedroom on the main floor? Are you looking to make your kitchen more functional? Is an aging parent moving in, or your child is moving out, or even moving back in? Call Your Home for a Lifetime at 949-492-1872 or check them out on the web at yourhomeforalifetime.com and find out how they can help you make your house your home for a lifetime.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy 3 with triple points on airfare. Buy 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit AXPGold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at AXPGold.com.
So I'm going to share something else about baby boomers. We kind of talk about that as in the show a little bit. Baby boomers do not appear to be overly concerned about budgeting for personal travel, nor are they hindered by the higher airfares. Approximately 2/3 claimed it has had no impact on their travel plans.
If you're going to go, you're going to go.
But this is. I'm going to spend the money. I'm okay, right? I got the money. I have the time. I'm going to do it.
If I don't have the money, I don't have the time, I'm not going to go out and penny pitch. When we're on vacation, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't feel comfortable, then we're not going to go.
You know, Glenn, I looked over the Virgin Hotel in Chicago. I looked over some pictures while we were talking at the break. And the interesting thing looking at that is it's almost reminds me of what Hard Rock tried to do when they first started. You know, where it was an eclectic blend, it was a sort of a chaoticness to it. And I think they may have actually tapped into, and even what W tried to do in the very beginning, it's almost like an Ian Schrager hotel. And it back in the day. Before
Is he
that
still got, around? Is Ian Schrager still doing all those boutique hotels? Yeah.
So I think they may have
Marriott now. Yeah. Which should be how things have changed.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so I think Virgin, just from a demographic, may actually have bridged younger as well as that old rock and roller kind of mentality. It's a pretty good property, man. I'm gonna have to check it out next time.
I didn't even
know
there was a Virgin Hotel anywhere. Is this the first one?
Yes, it's the first one. Yep. There's one coming to New York and I think Miami and some other places as well.
Can I ask you? I was gonna ask you a question here. Why don't they do more integration then between all the different endpoints of a vacation? You mentioned Virgin. Obviously, there's a Virgin Airlines. Well, I don't know what the future of Virgin
Airlines is. Like a package of everything?
Yeah.
The future is not good. They got bought by Alaska, so I'm pretty sure.
That's right. They did. That's right. So, but the idea would be, so you fly on Margarita Airlines, Villa Airlines. You go to the Margaritaville property. You eat at Margaritaville restaurants. You buy the Margaritaville music. Go to the Margaritaville concert that night. I mean, couldn't there be some sort of, maybe that's overkill, but something like that where you're controlling the process from end to end.
Glenn, hold on a second. Okay, so you asked the question, Paul, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, as a representative of the only person in this room that's representative of your generation, right?
Right.
Answer your own question. Do you think that that would actually appeal beyond a one-time situation where to be that inundated in the brand that you would basically experience every part of that?
It seems like a kind of overkill as I said it out loud, but I don't know. Maybe, I mean, you'd have to change it up so it's not all Margaritaville, it's not all Virgin or something, but the idea would be that I get the same experience from the minute I get on the plane to the cars I rent, to the places I go and eat and visit, to where I stay, to the concert I see that night. Somehow it seems like there'd be some sort of coordinated package that could get put together.
You know, I was reading over Labor Day weekend. I think it's called The History of Tourism or something like that. It's a book. I'll look it up. I'll share it with you guys. But it was interesting because it talked about how tourism started. And it talked about like World's Fair and how people basically would start to travel, right? And the Grand Tour and, you know, the Orient Express and all this stuff.
Right.
But the interesting thing was they said that, especially with Americans.
Go look all those up, by the way. The St. Louis World's Fair and the Grand Tour and the Orient Express.
The thing that I found fascinating is it talked about how people's initial exposure to different cultures, and used like Egypt or North Africa, Morocco, whatever, right, was in these World's Fairs. Right. So here you are in New York, you're in Chicago or whatever, and you have a World's Fair and you go to the World Pavilion and there's a little show area or a little kiosk or whatever that is Egyptland or whatever, right?
Disney, it's a small world after
now,
all.
Here's what the interesting thing was to me though, is that when those people actually then proceeded to go to Egypt, okay? They were disappointed.
It wasn't as clean or nicer.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And so
it's too sanitized.
So then, okay, things like Thomas Cook and so forth grew out of that to try to actually standardize the experience so it is more reflective of that initial promise that you.
Well,
you
I always ask here in California, why do you want to go see California? What's it called? California Adventureland. Yeah. When I live in California, why do I want to go to a park that mimics what's outside the gate?
Where I'm going with this is I think we still do the thing the same damn way.
All right. So I'm going to ask Glenn, though. Is there why aren't they – if Virgin has airlines and hotels and all these other things, if Margaritaville now has hotels and restaurants and concerts, why aren't they trying to package all that together, or are they?
I think companies are trying to package some of these things together, and we're seeing more instances of that over time. But it gets us back to that technology and big data issue, and it's been very hard for companies to be able to pull all of that together. You see it in the hotel frequency programs. You've been giving them information for years, but what are you really getting out of that in the sense that they know who you are and are crafting experiences to your likings? We're just not quite there.
Isn't that what Disney's trying to do with the Disney cruises?
And there's also the how blatantly can they actually use that data without it sounding to be an invasion of privacy.
Yeah, but isn't that what Disney's trying to do when you go to the resort and then you take the cruise and you do other things? Don't they try and capture you and keep you in the system here?
Well, Disney's done a great job at keeping you in the system and getting every one of your dollars. What we're talking about creating a different type of experience where you know ahead of time that you're going to be doing all of that.
All right,
we start with the ill-fated Hooters Airlines. back in the day. That
yeah,
really
right.
Didn't work out too well. but
they should have. I don't know why that didn't work. That had winner written all over it here.
But I think we're seeing it more in a smaller sense, and to bring it back to that music and rock and roll
yeah.
thing and the festivals that we see that are out there that appeal to a wide swath of people. Folks my age and older, including the baby boomers, they want to have that pampered experience, but they still want to feel like they're younger.
So here's yeah, a question right. for both of you, okay? So I was told a while back that people's purchasing behavior tends to be distilled down to one of two possibilities.
Okay.
Either an aspiration to something.
Right.
Like where you stay at a certain hotel or you're buying something. Maybe
I want to be that.
Right. Yes, I want to be that.
Wild,
like
crazy,
I want to be a wannabe baby yeah. boomer here, right?
Yes.
And I guess Glenn is too, but the other thing is
I always tell him he's just a wannabe baby yeah. boomer. He just wants to.
I got no respect on my own show.
Wannabe. But,
okay, and then the other one is if it's either an aspirational purchase or it's an affirmation purchase of a level.
Either I want to be or I'm already here. I'm rich and I want to show off.
So here's my question to you guys. Do you think that is something that changes over age?
Yeah, I think your goals are change over age. Again, it's a good, you know, I think it's when you're young, you want things, and when you're older, you want family to be around you, right? So when I'm in my 20s, I want to go out and do all of these cool, crazy things, but then when I'm
aspirational.
Older, aspirational, but when I'm older, I've done a lot of that, and I might want to do some soft adventure travel where I go out on
right.
a safari and see some cool elephants during the day, but come home to a luxury resort at night. But more importantly, I want to see my kids. I want
right.
to see my grandkids.
Right.
I want to have those real moments that you can't have when you're in the real world.
So it's the affirmation, and when I use aspiration and affirmation, it's not necessarily in terms of materialism. It's an affirmation of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's an affirmation how you deal with things. Like if you're going to go on a trip, for example, it may be something that, and this is a growing industry, of a volunteer type experience,
yes.
right, where you're giving back of some sort. And to your point, Glenn, you know, where it's family, you know, where I'm connecting with family. I don't want to go out and just party on my own, right? It's an affirmation of me as part of a unit. It's just a question that keeps plaguing me all the time because I don't know how much is really how much that factors into how people are marketed to. I think we try to standardize the way we market to people, and we try to make it basically brand-based versus customer-based.
Yeah.
And that's changing, though, Rod. What we're going to be seeing when people really do get a full control over how to leverage big data is you're going to see that I will get specific packages that are geared towards my likes. I won't get anything on golf because, you know, I lived in Brooklyn for too many years. I don't know anything from golf.
Right.
But I certainly love music. I certainly love certain types of food and certain types of experiences. And with something called machine learning, if the programs can do stuff that they weren't explicitly created to do. So they gain knowledge the more information that's put in.
They adapt.
The more stuff that I do. It's exactly like Netflix. The
right.
more comedies I watch, the more it could recommend those comedies to me.
Okay, but I'm gonna be my normal contrarian, jaded, sardonic self, right?
Okay, and I'm glad someone's taking on my job.
Well, I can't have you have all the fun, right?
Yeah,
so here's the thing. Whenever I hear that kind of stuff, and I'm experiencing it through Netflix, you point out Netflix, we experience it on Facebook even, like what you get inundated with in terms of ads,
yeah,
right?
Right.
It's profiling your habits and then basically, okay, here's what there's a sadness that I feel with this, is that it then omits everything else.
It doesn't suggest off-the-wall ideas.
Right. It filters out so much stuff that you basically, it's not that like, you're in the library and you're doing research and you find out this book that had nothing to do with what you were researching, but then all of a sudden you spend 20 minutes basically completely engrossed in something that you just learned that's new.
Because they can't predict that if you like comedies, you also might like a documentary on Brazil. You know,
I'm experiencing Netflix right now with it recommended for you, right?
Right.
Well, it's like, that's fine, but
More of the same.
And so I'm just putting it out there philosophically that even though there is a benefit that comes from that knowing who I am more and catering to my needs supposedly, I also am a person whose needs change. And I think, Glenn, you've touched on this in terms of, you know, that the industry cannot be just so focused on one particular age group or whatever. But my needs change. And so even though you may know what my needs change, I personally would love to have some element of surprise, some element of the unknown still factored in there.
So can they program surprise in? Can they, with enough data, can they say that if you like comedies, you will like something totally off the wall? You will like a trip to Africa. You wouldn't see any correlation between those two, but if you study enough data and you look at enough patterns, you might say, I don't know why, but there's some correlation between these two seemingly uncorrelated
points. I guess the question is there money in that?
Well, if they can predict, yeah, if they can predict new things. When I had a bar, our whole goal was to get you to try our house drinks and our unusual stuff that we carried because, one, we made more money on it, and, two, you couldn't get it anywhere else. So if I could get you to break your habit and try something you've never tried before and you liked it, I got you.
But then I want you to have that all the time.
Yeah, well, then I got to keep surprising you all the time, right? I got to keep surprising you.
So, Glenn, we're coming to the end here. Why don't you give us one of your rants? What just gets under your skin right now?
Well, so much gets under my skin. But to stick with the theme, I would like to get out there and, you know, just say, Simple Minds in the 80s said it best, don't you forget about me. You know, our generation, we're feisty, we're still out there, we have money to spend. And I'm tired of the younger, upwardly mobile, tech-savvy millennials that everybody has been fawning over. Rod, we are spenders. We want to go out there. We want to have those experiences.
Amen.
And I'm just sick of being cast aside, sick of being taken for granted in favor of another group, and maybe a little bit jealous.
And wait till you turn 60, and you'll only get worse.
So
Glenn, be less.
Glenn, do the little shameless plug. Tell people about your blog and where they can get hold of you and stuff like that.
Excellent. Well, I write 2 columns a week for Hotel Management Magazine, but I'd love if you check out my podcast. It's No Vacancy with Glenn Hausman. How convenient that it has my name on it. And you can check that
very
out.
Very convenient.
Find it on iTunes and Stitcher and Android platforms at the Play Store. Anywhere podcasts are, you'll find No Vacancy.
Okay.
Awesome. And if they have any questions or anything, they get hold of you through that? Or is there an email or anything you want to give out?
Find me on Twitter, at Traveling Glenn, with 2 G's there in the middle for Traveling and Glenn. And Glenn has 2 N's. And, of course, find me at glenn@rouse.media. If you want to have me do a speaking gig or something like that, send me a note. Love to do it.
This guy is somebody you need to follow, just for the sheer
entertainment. We need to have him back.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been wanting to do this with Glenn for a while, and we had an opening, and I said, okay, let's just do it, relevant to this. But Glenn, I'm putting it out there, man. Anytime you want to even pop in over the phone or whatever during a show, or if you got something of interest, you know, just reach out to me, man, and let's just get some more airtime together.
Well, I'll say this particularly in all seriousness, because the point of this show is this aging journey that we're all on. We don't know where we're going. We have nobody to look back and say, how did they do it? Because nobody lived this long. Everybody was dying in their 60s not that long ago. Now we're going to live maybe into the 90s or 100s or whatever. So we're in a new chapter that's kind of unexplored for the world in total here. And baby boomers have redefined every other stage of growth. We created the notion of teenagers after World War II. There was no such notion before this. Then we became hippies. Then we became yuppies and went the other extreme. Everybody's assuming the baby boomers will somehow redefine old age anyway, particularly since they have so many years.
Well, and I don't know if you would share this with share these sentiments with me, Glenn, but I've told Paul over and over and over, if it wasn't for the baby boomer generation breaking the mold in the way that they did, our generation, the Gen Xers, would not have that as a stepping stone that basically to propel from.
And we also wouldn't have a younger generation that feels entitled and really good about themselves. All right, the good old days where we all hated ourselves.
That we can kvetch about.
Exactly. No, because that's what we did to our kids, unfortunately. My kids,
But Paul, I'll be looking to you to tell me how to live life since you're a few years ahead of me.
Yeah, well, and I think that's kind of the opportunity, that's kind of the giddiness of it. But it's also the, like, for example, we'll take a couple extra minutes, go over here a couple minutes. But, for example, I just became a grandparent a couple years ago. Now you think, okay, that's wonderful. It's a new phase of my life, and I get such a kick, and you're absolutely right. If I go somewhere, I want to take him with me and the whole family with me, my daughter and her husband and everybody here. Now, here's the point. I don't know what it's like to be a grandparent, because when I was a kid, grandparents died when you were 60, when they were 60 or 65. My grandparents all died when I was like 2 or 3 or 4.
Yeah, you had no reference point.
I have no reference point.
What a grandparent does.
And I started thinking about all my friends in my neighborhood. None of us knew our grandparents. Another one or two maybe. But by and large, grandparents died when they were in their 60s. And by the time we could remember, they were gone. So we're going to, I'm having to redefine, I'm having to learn, come up with what does a grandparent do? I don't know. I've never seen one before. I think the same thing is true with the next 20 or 30 years. What does retirement look like when you retire at 65 or 70? Now, let's say probably more realistic 70, and you don't die for another 20 or 30 years. What do you do? Do you just play golf all the time? Do you just sit around and play with the grandkids all the time?
See, and
do you give back? Do you start a new business? Do you start new marriages? Do you start a new career in volunteerism? I don't know.
Yeah, the focus really when it comes to what to do with that, where to put the energy, is on how do we care, like as in medical, mm-hmm. right? How do we handle financially where your money can stretch?
That's what
right?
we're most worried about. How do we stay healthy? How do we not run out of money? Yeah.
But those are the conversations that are taking place. Right. What is not taking place, the kind of conversation we just had here today, is, okay, so where do you go?
And what do you
What do you do, right? Exactly.
Where do you go and what do you do?
Glenn, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. Rod, let's get you on my show soon, all right?
Sounds good. You let me know when.
And we'll make sure his mic doesn't work when he's on your show.
Perfect. I love it.
All right. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only OCTalkRadio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.